really don't know why this is or how this can be, but 15 minutes after I wake up in the morning, I'm somehow able to write brilliant prose and conduct lucid conversations concerning the secrets of the universe. That's 15 minutes after I wake up. It's weird. I just pop into life, and I can instantly head out to sea in several different directions. Good morning again, everyone. This is Martin Zender, and it is morning here in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Now, King Solomon, ho ho ho, wouldn't you like to be that guy? Well, he would trade with you probably because he was vexed, believe it or not, and his great blessings turn into, for him, a great trial in a sense, in that he learned that all is vanity. So let's continue in chapter 1 of Ecclesiastes. No, I'm not going to talk about the entire book of Ecclesiastes. I'm going to do the first two chapters and then go to the last verse of the book, because herein lay a great lesson for us about any of us who are so deceived or deluded into thinking that happiness lies with friendship with this world, or that happiness ultimately lies with attainments in this world. No, that's not true. Happiness and contentment lies not with going with the mainstream, because the mainstream is going over the cataract. Happiness lies with a God consciousness, a consciousness that you are in the heart and mind of God, that you are special to Him, and that you are loved by Him, and that you are being prepared by Him for a wonderful, happy, glorious, joyous place with Him for eternity once this here boot camp is over. And that's what this life is. My friend Herb Dirks used to tell me that, my German friend since deceased. He used to say, "Martin, this is a boot camp." He would talk like a Major Hochstetter on Hogan's Heroes. "Yeah, this is a boot camp, clink." Is that General Burkhalter? "Clink." No, this is General Burkhalter. Clink would say, "Ah, General Burkhalter, what an unexpected pleasure." General Burkhalter would say, "Unexpected, yes. Pleasure, no." One of my favorite shows, Hogan's Heroes. Ecclesiastes, verse 8, chapter 1. "A man cannot utter it," speaking of things that keep going back in their courses and never coming seemingly to a satisfying conclusion. "The eye's not satisfied with seeing, nor is the ear filled with hearing. What occurred once, it shall occur again." I think he was talking about Gilligan's Island reruns there. "And what was done, it shall be done again. There's nothing at all new under the sun." That's a killer revelation right there. Every generation thinks they invented sex. Every inventor thinks he has brought something new into the world. In a sense, yes, but in a sense, no. Because other things like it have been invented. It's just more weariness, according to the wise man here. This guy's smarter than we are. I think we go with what he says here. "There's nothing at all new under the sun." I'm going to go with that. I'm going to stick with Solomon here on this. "Is there anything of which one may say, 'See this, it is new'?" This is the concordant version of the Old Testament. This is the most literal version since Solomon wrote this. This is a great sentence. "Is there anything of which one may say, quote, 'See this, it is new'?" Answer is no. "It has already occurred in eons that were before us." Wow. It has already occurred in eons, in time periods that were before us. We have these great advances in natural medicine. Don't think that mainstream medicine is advanced. We're not advancing in mainstream medicine. We're going backwards in mainstream medicine. The advances are coming in natural medicine and people figuring out which herbs will heal you, which plants will cure you of cancer, what a coconut oil can do for your body. That's advancement. And we think it's new. Wow, we've discovered the greatness of coconut oil. Woohoo! We're a little late to that party because I'm thinking that the wonders of coconut oil were probably discovered by Adam in the Garden of Eden. Many uses for coconut oil. Many uses. Just ask Eve. Oh, you can also, I'm starting to do this. It's called oil pulling. You put coconut oil in your mouth in the morning. I did this morning. You put it in your mouth, and you kind of swish it around. I know it sounds gross. Don't put a lot in there. You're going to gag. You put a little bit, and you just kind of, as I'm looking at my emails first thing, I'll just run that coconut oil through there. Nothing crazy. I'm not doing any Listerine type theatrics with this stuff. I'm just letting it go. And what it does is it pulls diseases from your body. It pulls diseases from your mouth. Not that I have any, but in case one would think about coming into my mouth, I dispel it with coconut oil. And you do this for about 15 minutes. Then you spit it out. Do not swallow it, please. You spit it out. Then you rinse with warm water. And then you eat your five oranges. Well, that's what I do anyway. No. Everybody's known about this. We're just now discovering it because we've been lame for thousands of years. And we're still lame. But we just see little peaks of light that the ancients knew way back in the day. There is no remembrance of former generations. Well, that's what the wise man says. And also for those who shall come after us, a remembrance of them shall not continue with those who shall come afterwards. I myself, the assembler, speaking, Solomon speaking, I myself, this he's giving his history here, came to be king over Israel in Jerusalem. I applied my heart to inquiring and exploring by wisdom concerning all that is done under the heavens. And here's his conclusion. I use this verse all the time, and I always misquote the passage. It's Ecclesiastes 1:13. I think I always like to say 11. So if I've quoted this verse to you in error, I'm sorry. This is it. Here's what he has concluded. It is an experience of evil Elohim has given to the sons of humanity to humble them by it. God has given you, Elohim has given you. That's one of God's names, El. It means subjector, Elohim. El is subjector. Elohim is the other intermediaries that God works through, one of whom would be Christ. It is an experience of evil. Elohim has given, active verb, to the sons of humanity to humble them by it. The assembler goes on in verse 14. I saw all the deeds that are done under the sun, and behold, the whole is vanity and a grazing on wind. Grazing on wind. No wonder you can't get any nutrition from striving in this world, because it's like grazing on wind. What you want to do is graze on grass. But if you're grazing to find popularity or to go with the mainstream of this world, you'll never be satisfied. It's grazing on wind, and the people who seem satisfied are not. They will eventually all come to the experience of Solomon. That's the thing. Okay, next time you see a celebrity or a rich person on television or in the movies, or you're listening to the song of a wildly famous pop icon, I want you to tell yourself this, that person is on their way to writing Ecclesiastes, on their way to writing, oh my God, why did I bother? Going back and seeing. Now, it's not to say that you can't bother for the sake of entertainment and enjoyment of yourself. I saw an interview of Bob Dylan on 60 Minutes, and he was so mellow, and the interviewer was trying to recollect for Bob all the great things he's done in his life, all these great songs you've written, you were the voice of a generation, and Dylan's just sitting there like, yeah, well, you know, and it's just, he had become jaded by it, which is not to say, and Eric Clapton, same way. You watch Eric Clapton, he's a very humble man, very sober. Wasn't always sober, was he? But all these people have come to appreciate their own experiences, appreciate their accomplishments, but they have become so jaded and so cynical as they look back on what they thought was, I'm great. And now Eric Clapton's greatest entertainment today is fly fishing. He considers his greatest accomplishments the fish that he catches on his line. Bob Dylan, I'm not sure what his hobbies are, but every one of these people who you envy are coming to the Solomon experience. So you can enjoy the post-Solomon experience and the post-Job experience without going through the traumas of Job and Solomon. You might say, but Martin, I want to go through the traumas of Solomon. I want to have my gold and my concubines and my VCRs. I say to you, spare yourself. I say to you, this man has come here to give us wisdom. This man does not want to look back and think he has wasted his time with you. He wants to be able to see you and find that you have become satisfied in the situation in which you are. Not that you don't strain or strive, bad words. Not that you don't employ yourself to produce something with your hands, produce something with your mind that is worthy and noble and good. I do that myself. I produce things with my mind. I put my little fingers on my computer. I tap out words that help you. I sit here in front of my microphone. I assemble it like the assembler. I have my camera here, my microphone here. Judy's over here. My lamp is here. My phone cord is back in play. I do all these things, and yet I don't put my hopes and my dreams and my aspirations and all my life in these things because I know that they are passing. They're passing by, and it becomes weary to put all your hopes and expectations and dreams on these things that you are doing now. Your expectation ought to be in Christ and in the next life. And so if your expectation is there now, then it settles you. Remember the through mentality, looking into what you're coming into. And that through mentality will keep you from putting too much emphasis on becoming something or someone or going with the flow of the beast and the world systems. The beast, again, looks good. The beast, remember, is not ugly to the sight or to the ear. It is beautiful. Having this mentality of seeing what you are coming into with God in Christ will keep you from putting everything into this basket of this eon and this cosmos. And this would make Solomon happy because he would think then that he did not write in vain, that you learned from his lesson. You don't need to collect for yourself the treasures and the popularity and the world celebrity that Solomon attained because he himself, at the end of his career, looks back on it and says, pshaw, pshaw. Really? One thing, only one thing is needed. And Jesus himself said that to Martha. Really? Only one thing is necessary, and that's to sit at Christ's feet and learn of him. We learn at Christ's feet from our apostle, Paul, who wrote the words of Christ that he learned from Christ himself. This is a quiet activity. It is a cerebral activity. It is an activity of coming to a realization of truth. And I think it's the most, I think that this pursuit of Paul in his letters, the truth that he gives us in his 13 letters, is the most profound wisdom and knowledge that one can come to in this era. Everything else, when you come to realize the grace and the goodness and the magnificence of God, everything else pales in comparison. And the world itself, its celebrities, its icons, its attainments, grows strangely dim. That's where I want to live. It's a place of peace. It's a place of apprehending what God has done for us and what he will do for us.